Dude.
Where's my car?
No. Dude, DZ, good morning.
What up? Buenos dias.
103.7 Kiss FM, Milwaukee's number one hit music station. It's Allie and DZ. Second day back of the new year, baby. Happy 2026. Guess what happened when I woke up this morning?
Holla at me. What happened?
I went in to brush my teeth.
Normal.
And there was this like chunk of black on my cheek. And then there was this little chunk. It was chocolate, dude.
What the hell?
And I looked and I went, how did I get chocolate embedded on my face last night, dude? I wasn't even drinking.
You woke up with chocolate on your face?
I swear to God. Okay? So my only theory is, and there was some in my nail. I was like, did I sleep eat? No.
Okay.
I'm obsessed with these chocolate peanut butter Atkins bars.
Word.
I eat them a lot.
Yeah, you snack on.
So I think last night I was laying in bed and a piece of chocolate
must have like crept over, hit the neck or something. I know
it. And then I slept on the chocolate and
then
I woke up with
out?
It looked like I had poop on my face, dude.
You look like Picasso over there. Did Sammy stop by? What's
it
going
was like
on?
My nephew was here.
Our 4-year-old? No, chill.
No, because Sammy, your son, loved to use his poo-poo to write on
to
the
paint.
So we call
everywhere.
Him Picasso.
Yeah, he'll never live that down. Well, I just want you to know. I'm going to write that in his yearbook when he graduates high school.
He's not.
Shout out Picasso.
I mean, and if he's an artist,
even better.
If your son becomes an artist,
even better.
Oh, it's on. Oh, it's dude. On. So anyway, I just had to share with you that I woke up with chocolate on my face.
Chocolate painted on your
and
face.
And I'm not even hungover. And it was from an Atkins bar. Not even a sexy story for
my
you guys.
My only question, did you eat the chocolate?
Ew, no, not. I would have last night.
Had I found it this morning, I would have been like, wait, what? Oh, chocolate.
No. Well, I was just so like, ew.
It's from
like
my own bed.
Picking it off my face. I was like,
it's all crusty.
Disgusting. It was.
That's actually, no, that's hilarious.
All right, so we got to get into the question of the day.
Okay.
It also involves food, but don't worry, the whole show's not about food.
I mean, it can be.
This is a crazy story because we all love to go to restaurants for specific items.
True.
We all have our favorites.
Yeah.
So I almost died when we went to Olive Garden and they looked us in the eye and said they were out of something famous.
Huh?
Yeah, let's go. I'll tell you right now. Come on.
Your body's awake, but your brain isn't. Allie and DZ get your brain going with a question of the day.
Can you believe I was at Olive Garden with my children?
Yeah.
And we I can believe walked that.
I definitely can believe that.
Hadn't been in a while. It was touching my mood for some reason.
I feel that.
So I said, let's go. We were in Brookfield on Blue Mound, and we walk in, and I say, table for three, please.
Please.
And she goes, well, we're out of breadsticks.
That's not what I said. I said table for three, please.
This was New Year's Eve, by the way.
Oh, you was out of breadsticks on New Year's Eve.
Uh-huh. This was like 1 p.m. because I was going to go to Olive Garden with them and then take them to their dad's before I went out for New Year's
Eve. Like an early dinner. Yeah, lunch, whatever.
And for those of you who are wondering in your cars, what do you eat at Olive Garden? Because I lost 150 pounds.
Yeah,
I don't,
you don't eat
pasta.
Carbs, pasta.
I go to Olive Garden and I get the chicken Alfredo, like the chicken broccoli Alfredo with no pasta. So basically I get fettuccine Alfredo. Hold the fettuccine. Add chicken and broccoli. It's chicken and broccoli with fettuccine.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's chicken and broccoli.
And I eat salad. It's fine.
Okay.
So just so you guys are wondering.
You throw it into the salad? You throw the chicken into the salad? Because that'd be a pro move in my opinion.
No, I just eat the Olive Garden salad when it comes out minus the croutons.
Yeah.
And then I order fettuccine without the noodles.
Bet.
And eat broccoli and chicken. So anyway, just because I know I get asked that every time I say I'm at Olive Garden. People are like, what? You don't eat carbs? Well, anyway.
Yeah.
So the woman says, we're out of breadsticks. And I go, huh?
That's not right.
So
your Olive Garden.
Well, I don't eat breadsticks anymore, so what do I care? But if
the
I
boys.
Did, I would never go to Olive Garden if they were out of breadsticks.
I would have turned around and dipped.
Goodbye.
You don't got half of what I came here for.
It's literally soup or salad and breadsticks or soup, you know?
That's Texas Roadhouse saying they out of the buns and the rolls and the little sweet sauce. No. You miss me with you out of the what
you.
Butter?
Okay.
You out of the what butter?
So you would have
goodbye.
Left.
Goodbye. I'm gone.
Left.
I would have turned around, okay. I would have exited, and we would have eaten somewhere else.
Thank you, because I turned my children, my 12 and 14-year-old Owen and Hudson, and I said, hey, It's up to you guys, because
I don't care.
Eat breadsticks, so this does not affect me. And they both went, and the lady says, well, they might arrive when we're here.
Oh, they had them on order? They said, we're getting rushed.
The truck's on its way, but it's already been to two other Olive Gardens in the area.
Everybody was out of breadsticks.
And she goes, and this manager goes, this is only the second time this has ever happened. And Hudson looks at her and he goes, well, when was the first?
That's a valid question.
And the manager of Olive Garden goes, oh, it was about 7 years ago when we didn't get the shipment. I said, well, we'll come in. So we went in. The boys agreed to go to Olive Garden sans breadsticks.
No breadsticks, and they still said cool.
I thought they were psychotic. I know, but here's
all
the
right.
best part.
What?
Karma caught up because the breadsticks arrived in the middle of the meal, and they had seven little baskets of them. You
perfect.
Know. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I'm really glad they stuck it out, because they're like,
you know
what? Maybe they will arrive.
They did.
I wouldn't have been that patient.
I, for a second, I was like, did you guys go down the street to pick and save in the heat of some breadsticks and lie to me?
That's what they should have done. I mean, they could have gone to the next one over that they did have breadsticks at them and like, hey, let me get half of y'all order. We'll bring you my half. Yeah. You got to figure that out in the restaurant industry.
Uh-huh.
You cannot run out of the item that you say you have the most of.
Oh, my God.
It's like Chipotle. You
unlimited
walk in and they're like,
breadsticks. How do you run out of unlimited breadsticks?
We ain't got rice and beans. Do you still want a burrito? No.
I would pass out.
No.
I
don't.
Okay, so the question of the day is, what is a go-to item where if they did not have it, you're gone? Because I feel like breadsticks at Olive Garden is a perfect example. You listed another one, the rolls at Texas Roadhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're out, miss me.
You ain't got no honey butter?
I'm not coming over.
What's the point?
You were made, that's why I come here.
I actually think that has happened. We've been at Texas Roadhouse. Mm-hmm. We don't go there often. But when we walked in, they were like,
we ain't got
rolls. We left.
We said we
can't do this, yo.
Here's one more example I'll give you before we'll start taking calls and texts at 414-533-1037. If I still ate them, Cheddar Bay biscuits. Like, if I walked into Red Lobster and they said, we're out, I'd be like, me too.
Bye.
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 I'm leaving as well.
I got no experience with the Cheddar Bay biscuits.
I still can't believe you've never eaten.
Yeah, I've never
had
Red Lobster.
Don't even start with me. But anyway. What?
I've told you this before. My mom's allergic.
Oh, I still can't even believe you haven't had the Cheddar Bay
biscuits.
And we
love seafood. You know what I'm saying?
So it's like, my mind.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The phones are going crazy. We're going to talk to you guys next. What is a item that brings you to a restaurant?
And if they don't have it, you leaving.
What is it? We'll talk to you next.
Your body's awake. But your brain isn't. Allie and DZ get your brain going with a question of the day.
So I was telling DZ the story about on New Year's Eve, I took the boys to Olive Garden and they were out of breadsticks and I almost fell over.
How OG's got no breadsticks?
You're the OG. Like,
you're Olive Garden.
Come on.
Soup, salads, and breadsticks. Yay!
And
where are the breadsticks?
I couldn't believe Owen and Hudson agreed to go anyway, and then they showed up in the middle of the meal.
Good for
them. Thank goodness.
They stuck it out.
I said, what is like a one restaurant item that brings you to a restaurant? I said, the Cheddar Bay biscuits will bring me to Red Lobster all day long.
Yeah.
You said the Texas Roadhouse rolls.
Yeah. That honey butter, more specifically. You know what I'm
saying? Oh, the butter is everything. Let's go to Sarah in Milwaukee, if you don't mind, because her and I are going to bond over this one.
Got to bond real quick.
Hi, Sarah.
Morning, Sarah.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's the one item that brings you to a restaurant?
You know, it's got to be that crispy Diet Coke from McDonald's.
Ooh,
girl.
Yeah. Any of the sodas out that machine is just extra spicy.
Whenever I've pulled up and the few times they've been out of Diet Coke, can I get
it's
you
weird.
Something else? I'm like, no, you can't. Disaster. Goodbye.
No.
I literally will leave if they don't have it.
Get me the manager so I can complain. That's what you could get me.
But it's a perfect example of something that brings me to a restaurant specifically.
Yeah, Aaron has definitely gone through that drive-thru and been like, I just need a Diet Coke from Mickey D's. No, specifically.
That's it.
From Mickey D's.
That's all we need.
Heard.
Sarah, you're like my kindred spirit.
Yeah.
Love you.
Sister. I never knew how much
Thanks,
I missed
guys.
You.
I hope
Bye,
you,
Sarah.
Now I want one. See, now I got to order it. Now I got to DoorDash a Diet Coke from McDonald's.
Grab me a Sprite, no ice, dog.
Done.
Appreciate it.
Got you.
Bye, Sarah. Have
Bye,
a good day.
Sarah.
You know she's about to go get a Diet Coke now if she didn't already.
You know I am too.
I know you know. You think we're playing. What?
Let's go to Nick and Waukesha. We're talking about your one item that brings you to a restaurant.
Our Nick?
Yes.
Like our
he's
Nick.
Got our own he's got his own theme song.
This
he called
Nick.
5 days in a row.
Whoa, what is this?
Earned it himself.
Somebody put us in edit mode.
Oh, no.
Huh.
Oh, no. Nick. Bienvenidos a Waukesha. Nick with a C, not a K.
Yeah, that part.
Hey, Nick.
How you doing, guys?
What up, Poppy?
Good. We haven't talked to you in the new year. Happy New Year.
You're just so familiar, I didn't even think about it.
But I didn't get through. I was like, man, I'm not going to get through at all.
It's okay. Well, you know you could always text. You know the why.
You're a regular.
I know, but I'm driving. That's the thing. I heard. Text and drive.
Safety first.
Well, I said they were out of breadsticks at Olive Garden. I've never heard of this in my life. What's the item that brings you to a restaurant?
Well, kind of going off the McDonald's theme, I would have to say those adult Happy Meals, because you know what? I'm obsessed with those older toys, you know, like bringing them back.
Hey, them Grinch socks was lit.
Gotta have it.
Yeah. Gotta have it. The adult Happy Meals. I'm not mad at you.
Well, it did have socks in it, which no kid wants socks. That's an adult prize. I'm sorry.
Aaron got the Grinch socks from the McDonald's Happy Meal this year.
See? No kid wants socks.
Well, our kids wanted them, but that's because they had Grinch on them. They had the Grinch on them. Yeah.
Well, I mean, when they're promotional style, I mean, you know, you gotta have them, but I mean, they're doubtful they're gonna have your size, though. You know?
No, my foot didn't fit in the sock. You're right, Nick. You are right.
All right, Nick. Love you. Talk to you later.
Love you guys. Have a great day. Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year, man. Peace.
Nick, he's such a Wisconsin guy. It's Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year's.
Years.
I say years. Yes, it is year.
It's year, DZ.
Well, I'm saying Happy New Year for the next one.
I'll allow it for you because English is your second language,
sir. Gracias.
Jocelyn from Racine texted in and said, I love Arby's chicken sandwiches. That's her go-to. Okay.
I ain't going to take that from you. I'm not an Arby's guy, but okay.
Natalie in Menominee Falls, curly fries at Arby's. Sure enough.
I have heard the curly fries slap.
I feel that. Mm. Who should we go to next? Oh, Bunker on the bus.
Bunker?
Bunker, the kid? Yeah.
My boy Bunker?
Hey, Bunker. Good morning.
Good morning.
What up?
What's your one go-to item? What brings you to a restaurant?
Panda's orange chicken.
Nothing but applause for that. Yeah, if they don't have the orange chicken, I'm gone.
Owen is obsessed. My 14-year-old is obsessed with orange chicken.
Why is it so crispy? Why is it so good? Why is it so yum? Mm.
He tries to order it for every side. You know, you get like two sides. I'm like, no, pick a different. He's like, nope, orange chicken twice.
You got to get the bigger plate. You get three servings of orange chicken. Yeah. You get twice and then one in a little box for the side for later. That's
I love
you
the bigger plate.
Mm, making me hungry.
Oh, see, now we're hungry.
Now
all right,
hungry.
Bunker. Now we got to go to Panda Express as well. Have
Way
a
to
great
go.
Day.
You too.
Later, bud.
Sarah is in. Oh, no,
we already talked to Sarah.
Oh, Waylon was in the car while we're on the kid tip.
Was he solo dolo?
He was. I don't know if he still is, though. We haven't talked to him in the new year. Waylon in Wabaca. Good morning.
Hi.
Hey.
Oh, there you are.
There you are.
Mm-hmm. Waylon, what's the one item that'll bring you to a restaurant?
Junk food, or if they don't have junk food, I go to Quick Trip for pizza.
I love you so much, Waylon. He said Quick Trip for pizza.
Quick Trip for that pizza, huh?
My son does that as well. True.
Quick Trip does have good pizza, Waylon.
My kids love to go to Quick Trip for food. Like, they have asked for Quick Trip over McDonald's. I'm like, come on!
You ever had the breakfast pizza from Quick Trip?
I've seen it.
Yeah.
Game changer. Waylon knows. Game changer.
Good to know.
Good to know, for sure.
Good to know. Well,
that's literally all what I get.
Oh, you like the breakfast. That's what you get, the breakfast pizza. Mm-hmm. Y'all know you, my boy. See, that's why we close like that, dog.
See, Waylon, we appreciate you. We'll talk to you later, Waylon.
Bye.
Later.
All right, last but not least, as I told the story about how Olive Garden was out of breadsticks when I took my kids there on New Year's Eve, they did come in while we were there. It was crazy.
Clutch. So clutch.
But somebody texted in and said, well, Kirsten in Greenfield said the free breadsticks at Olive Garden or free chicken and salsa at a Mexican restaurant.
Oh, that's like a go-to no matter what.
Totally. But somebody texted in about the breadsticks and said, anonymous insider info. The reason why I don't know if this is true. Okay, I'm reading a text anyone could have written, okay?
No, my eyes lit up. They said anonymous insider. Okay, anonymous.
It says the reason why Olive Garden did not have breadsticks is due to the delivery drivers not getting paid enough, and they end up delaying or even abandoning deliveries.
They was on strike.
Ooh.
Oh, they took their power back. Hey, listen, I'm going to have to do some investigating on that. You know I'm going to do my Googles.
Do it, because the breadsticks showed up, so somebody got paid.
It was the breadstick shortage of 2016.
Okay, go to Shoop, dude. Shoop. He's our math teacher, our resident math teacher. Welcome back, Shoop.
Let's crunch the numbers.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you been?
Well, I'll tell you how I've been. Olive Garden was out of breadsticks. What's up with that?
Mm. I mean, there you go.
It's not a good day, Shoop.
That's all right.
He said that's all right.
Aw, Shoop, what's the one item that'll bring you to a restaurant?
So there is a restaurant in Cedarburg in the old mill that's called Crate and Barrel. And it is where I go and get cheddar broccoli soup.
Isn't that a store?
Not like at Mayfair, right?
Right.
Where people sign up for on their wedding registry for stuff that's way too expensive, and I get irritated every time. I'm like, why you got to get registered at Crate and Barrel? Couldn't you done Target?
I mean, you from Bed Bath & Beyond. What
you
talking
about? You might as well go to Pottery Barn at this point.
No, thank you. I'm not going to your wedding.
The restaurant in Cedarburg has the best cheddar broccoli soup of all time.
Wow.
Never heard of this place.
A really big statement, Shoop.
Crate and Barrel in Cedarburg.
Literally.
Okay.
They have the best soup.
I'm going to find out for myself.
On my way home from work, that's where I stop, and I get soup for my wife and I.
Yeah.
And it's just the best thing. Mm. But sometimes they run out.
Because it sells so much, and then it's gone.
Right, right. And it's heartbreaking. It's like, we're out.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Like, okay, all right, I'll go home.
All right, I'll go home. Soup, sand soup.
So your go-to is a broccoli cheddar soup in Cedarburg. You know what somebody texted in? The wedges at KFC. Oh, those will bring me to KFC every day. Ooh,
Got a problem? No, I just meant that DZ has your solution. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Or he might make it worse. It's What Would DZ Do? On Kiss FM.
Oh, what's the problem today? Don't tell me it's you again.
No. Not today.
Okay, good.
Sans DZ.
DZ, what happened today? What's the problem?
Gee, this one's a family issue, though. Not my family.
Oh, thank God.
But a family.
We have enough drama in our own families.
It's reminiscent. It's happened, and it will continue to happen, but they're trying to avoid inheritance issues, right? It goes Allie and DZ. One of my parents just passed away. They were married for over 40 years, and they own a bunch of properties. The good news, and I know this is going to sound a bit cold, is that the parent who handled all the finances is still around. It's just my sister and I besides my remaining parent. Now, my sister recently told me that after our surviving parent passes, she wants to immediately rent all of the properties forever so that her kids can eventually
forever.
ADHD, God dang it.
Sorry.
Okay. She wants to rent out the property forever, ever.
So her kids can't have a combo with us without that happening.
Can eventually get everything as generational wealth. Now, I'm not going to lie. Only one of those kids is biologically related to my parents. And even though I don't have kids right now, who's to say what the future holds for me? Don't necessarily want to take anything from my sister or her family, but my parents worked their entire lives for what they've earned. I'm worried that because I don't have kids, my future and voice are being overlooked in this long-term plan.
Okay, so there's an inheritance.
Mm-hmm. There's a list of properties and probably worth some bread.
But somebody's still alive. That's not an inheritance yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
So what they're saying is, I just don't think it's fair for the assets to basically be directly only related to my siblings' kids in the long run, especially since our surviving parent is still here. So they're agreeing. They're going,
it's going to the grandkids.
And not the adults. So
I
need to speak up and say something. What can I do to protect my inheritance?
This
right,
is such a bleepy to the kids.
Kids aside, and how do you even bring this up without sounding like you're attacking her family?
So funny. Because the parents are like, "Oh, you thought you were getting the inheritance? Joke's on you. It's going to your kids, sucker."
But you don't have kids. Only your sister has kids.
I know, but I'm saying what a bleep you. Period.
First things first. This is tough because you don't get to decide what's going on. It's one thing if both parents passed, right? Now assets, there's a transfer of power. But the owner of that list of properties that you are so holding to, like hoping to inherit, they're still alive. Who's to say that they don't decide to sell everything off before they pass?
Honestly, they could.
Now, if that's not the move, if you know for a fact that that's not what they want to do as a family, I think you got to sit everybody down. And I mean, whoever, mom, dad, whoever's left that's managing properties.
You have some money involved, inheritance. You can't just sit people down and be like, let's all work together. That ain't going to fly.
It's not just sitting down you. You got to sit your sister down. Maybe she wants to bring the family. Cool. But my advice is you bring her. Mm-hmm. You bring mom or dad, whoever the surviving parent is that manages all of these properties. And you sit yourself down with a lawyer. And you guys set everything up in a family trust. I'm going to repeat it again. A family trust.
money and inheritance just tears people apart, man.
It does, but then you
said families, it's like the end of it.
A family trust will remove that family and put properties, wealth into a trust that then will protect that trust, those properties, that family, because then you could bring people into it, right? You can add people to the trust as people are born. If you get yourself and you can convince your family to do a family trust, it would be the best thing that you guys could possibly do for yourselves and for future wealth. That's what I'm saying.
I want to read this text because I second it. You can call or text at 414-533-1037. They said, death brings out the nasty in siblings. My dad passed in October and my brother did everything without me. No, it brings out the nasty in everybody.
Everybody.
Grief is hard.
Grief is very hard and it's handled
and it
poorly
comes out
in a lot of ways.
Nasty in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So that's a fair point. But DZ, you're saying sit everybody down and have a talk. I'm saying, yeah, right. Get the lawyers involved because nobody's going to sit down and have a good old talk. There's
lawyers,
just no way.
Lawyers got to be brought in from jump. And you know that. I hate to say it, but you can sit the family down, but without a power of attorney, right? Without an attorney at power to kind of help guide, it's going to get ugly. A family trust is the best move, in my opinion, because that's going to set your nieces and nephews, whatever up, half niece and nephew, whatever up, and your future kids, whatever up.
I think you need to get a lawyer, and I think a lawyer is going to tell you you're screwed because they're alive.
Maybe.
We'll see. All right, we'll talk to you guys next.
You got a problem? No, I just meant that DZ has your solution.
If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it.
Or he might make it worse. It's What Would DZ Do on Kiss FM.
Give me the money, honey.
No.
Yes.
Put it in a family trust, dog.
Somebody said, this is such a touchy situation. My mom took me out of everything because I'm gay, LOL. Well,
ooh,
your mom sucks.
Yeah, I was going to say, what?
Your mom took you out of the will? I'm sorry.
We apologize on behalf of your mom, even they suck.
Awkward.
Sorry.
Stephen Milwaukee said, situations like that make me thankful of being an only child.
Fair.
Doesn't mean you're getting it, though. So the problem today is the inheritance.
The inheritance. They got family got a list of properties. Mom, dad, married for over 40 years. One of the parents just passed, and now the sister sibling, only one with kids, is going, when this other parent passes, I want all these properties to be rented out so that my kids got generational wealth.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what's happening with an inheritance. For all we know, all these properties are going to be gone in a minute anyway. I think you need to get a lawyer involved, like you said, Allie.
Yeah.
Get that the family trust, irrevocable trust, whatever, but put it in a trust so those properties are protected, and then the family can grow, and you could add people to that trust.
Well, let's start with Mike in Waukesha. How about that?
Starting with Mike.
Got his own theme song.
I mean, Mike's that boy. Hold on.
We haven't talked
to
him in 2026, have we?
We haven't. You're right.
Oh, look out. Michael.
What's happening?
Hello. What up, now? So talk to us, Mike. What do you think this person should do with the inheritance?
I agree that they got to get a lawyer. And, you know, it's so touchy. And nobody says when the other parent dies, what if they have it in their will, like, this is all going to charity?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, remember we talked about this before the break? Like, you're not entitled to your parents' stuff.
With my neighbors?
Yeah, I am so sick of the entitlement where somebody's like, well, I want that. You didn't work for that, man.
You don't
get
it.
Get a job. Do it.
Fair. Which, hey.
There was a whole scene on Married to Medicine last week. Don't get me started. A whole scene where these kids were like, mom and dad, just pay for our school because you're doctors. And she was like, I don't care.
Can't believe I forgot to tell you this, Allie.
What?
I got an update. I got a long letter from one of the family members in the neighbor drama with my neighbors. I don't know which neighbor's family member dropped it off, but I got a secret letter in my... I got to let you read it.
What did it say?
It went into deep detail about everything that had gone on.
And so why did the mom not leave them the money?
I got to let you read it, bro. I got to let you read
it. You're kidding.
My neighbors left me a long letter. I got to let you read it. There's an update to the What Would DZ Do?
I want to read it right now.
It's not even inheritance.
Where is it?
Because the family wants to sell the house. Different situation, but similarly aligned because a family member passed.
Well, you came in one day and you were all stressed out because your neighbors, you were like, I want to help them keep the house. And I was like, DZ, this is not your
problem. Not my chair.
Not your chair. You don't get involved in this kind of stuff. This is somebody's family
money. I was
trying
to give them advice.
You were trying to help, but you were like, I want this family to keep it. But at the end of the day, we didn't know the whole story.
Oh, we got more to
story. So now you know the whole story.
We got a long letter. I got to let you read it. You have to read it for yourself.
I can't wait. But anyway, where were we?
In this situation with
siblings involved. Don't forget about me.
One family member left. A lot of properties involved. What's Milosh Metalworks think you do in the situation, dog?
I think you're getting a lawyer, but I think too, like, honestly, like, just to sit down with the family, like, what, like, ask the parent that's alive, like, what's your plan with all this? You know, try to figure it out a little bit beforehand.
Figure out what the parent wants to do.
How it's going, because you pay lawyers by the hour, so kind of rough it out before you call a lawyer, and then like, let's figure that out. And I don't know, I always think about that because I got like grandparents that are still alive, which is kind of weird at being almost 40 years old.
But that's like, great. You got grandparents that still alive.
Yeah, I tell my friends in their 40s, you're lucky if you have grandparents still at this point.
Yeah, like my grandpa's like 94 or 95, and my grandma's like 87.
Now you're just bragging. So, okay.
Yeah, too bad he ain't genetically my grandpa. But then too, well, like the thing where they brought up like
190 right now. I'm kidding.
Yeah. Too bad. Anyway. And like bringing up the stepkid thing, like, well, they're not even biologically hers. Like, I think that's kind of like crap.
Because, that's resentful.
Like, I have a stepdaughter, and I look at her like she's mine, and like, you know, I'll do anything for her. And the same thing for my son. You know, like, they're treated equally. It's not one of those things. So I don't think that's a fair play to play. You know,
I agree. But you don't have kids, so you're going, I want to protect the seeds that I might one day sow. You know,
yeah, this whole thing's messy.
Even if you don't, like, why because she had kids, so she's better than you all of a sudden.
She
like,
gets more than
more
you.
Stuff? Like, come on. Like,
yeah, haven't you seen society and the way we judge people based on? I'm kidding.
You get that lawyer involved.
They said it'll be fun. They said we all know the joke's on us, Mike. But that's a story for another day.
We'll talk about the short end of the stick another morning.
When we're retired at the Villages, we'll discuss one
that part.
Day.
Now we got to get to the rest of these calls, Mike. Now, appreciate you, man.
Okay. I'm going to say love you more in 2026, okay?
All right.
It's going to get weird, so love you guys.
Love you, dog. Talk to you soon.
I love your resolution. He's going to say love you more.
Perfect.
Oh, Mike.
Great job, Mike.
All right, let's go to Teddy in Muskego and see if he has any different advice. I'm scared.
Teddy.
Morning.
You going through this?
Morning.
What Teddy. What do they do?
I don't know. Me being, I have a sister and an older brother.
Said, I don't know.
I love Teddy's just sitting there.
I'm in the middle. I don't get to decide.
He's everything you'd picture.
He's the middle child. He doesn't get to decide. He said, I don't know.
I'm the youngest child.
Oh, that's why he doesn't care.
I'm going to put up the bigger fight.
I'm the youngest and I don't do anything. My sisters do everything. See, DZ, you're the oldest. You know.
He said, I don't know, but I'm going to get my piece.
Touche. I feel that so hard.
Get out of here, Teddy.
Bye.
This dude's a fool,
bro. I relate to that so much. Like, I'm not involved, but I'm around.
I don't know.
You know where I'm at.
I'm going to get my property, even if it's just one, dog. You feel me? Jesus, Ted.
Last but not least, Julia's in Franklin. Let's see if her advice is any different with this inheritance. Hey, girl.
Julia.
Good morning.
Happy 2026. We're back.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
This just gives me the ick. Like, it makes me, like, skin crawl, like, that we're already talking. Because the one parent is still alive.
I know. There's no money to even you're talking about how to deliver the the money for a guy that's not dead yet.
That sets you into precedent, though. You know what I'm saying? One parent just passed. They're obviously thinking of, well, I'm next. And if they haven't already talked about it in life, right?
You think they even talk to the parent that is still alive?
You could tell they haven't.
You know they haven't. Just by the way that they're phrasing this, you know that the siblings are talking about this behind the one parent's back, like trying not to involve them.
I agree. I agree completely.
But, like, dude, they have to bring, like, this is icky.
Listen, and death really does tear people apart. I know somebody whose dad died suddenly at a heart attack, like, in his 50s. Wasn't even, you know, totally
not
healthy.
Sick. Yeah.
And the whole family was super close. None of the siblings talk anymore.
Yeah.
And it's been years now because they fought over money, everything. It was not good. Ruined their entire family.
Death has torn a lot of my family in Colombia apart because of,
I believe it.
You know, issues and, honestly, properties and inheritance. Grief. And you're like, well, the grief doesn't hold you together.
No.
You think it does. You think it bring you together. But in a lot of cases, when there's a little bit of bread involved, man, it gets ugly.
Nope, not good.
We haven't given advice. Julia, what's your advice?
I think the advice is somebody's alive. Don't mind your business, okay?
Yep, Allie, second that.
Thank
so
you.
Hard.
Thank you. Did you hear the news?
What news? There's been a lot of news.
Dude, there's a new Disney movie that is now the biggest Disney grossing movie of all time.
Oh, yeah. You were saying something about this?
Yes. So over the break, I went to see Zootopia 2 with Hudson.
So did we, not with Hudson.
Gave me all the feels because Zootopia 1 came out when they were little. And we watched it over and over and over. And I just
They ran through the movie? They love Zootopia.
I love Zootopia more than they love it.
Touche. Okay? It was a great movie. movie.
And so Owen was like, well, I'm too old. I'm like, you're 14. Get in the car. He didn't want to go. So Hudson and I went.
Okay.
And it was great. Well, it turns out that Zootopia, and by the way, Shakira's back, of course, as we needed her.
Thankfully.
As she should be. But Zootopia 2 is now the highest grossing Disney movie in history, you guys.
For the animation stuff?
Guess what it beat out? The previous record holder? I know everyone's shouting out movies. Because yesterday you said Encanto. I said no.
No, that's not even in the top 10,
what
I found out.
What did you say? You said another one that wasn't it. It's Frozen 2 had been holding the top spot for, and this is in the billions, okay? So let me explain
worldwide.
Frozen 2 made $1.4 billion back in 2019 before COVID. And now Zootopia 2 has made $1.46 billion. So Zootopia 2 is now the highest grossing Disney movie of all time.
It's probably at like $1.5 billion now, bro, because it's climbing, it's growing, it's going to continue. Who knows? It might end up at $2 billion by the end of it,
bro. It says something that it's had a huge reaction in China, this film.
Interesting.
And so the film has earned over $500 million there, which is the highest total for a U.S. movie by far ever. So that's pushing it up, too. They're very into Zootopia.
$500 million going to add up real
gets you to a billion quick.
Nice little chunk of change right there. That's about half a billion.
So I was surprised. I didn't think I love Zootopia, but I did not see it as the biggest grossing movie. I was surprised.
And if I remember correctly, I know Frozen 2 felt like a shoe-in. Or like the Frozen series felt like
whole,
a shoe-in.
Yes, it's going to win. You can bring it to Disney on Ice for the next 15 years.
And it's going
to
rock.
Like Encanto.
And it's going to rock.
Yeah, exactly.
But what did surprise me is that it's kind of like a cycle of the ones and twos, right? Because it's Zootopia 2, Frozen 2, Moana 2, and then it goes
more.
Frozen 1, Zootopia 1, Moana 1, and that's the top six.
Is that because movies are more expensive as time goes on, or do you think it's because they just got bigger?
I think it's the fact that the movies got bigger, and if you're really thinking about it, these are the original stories that aren't like a spinoff of Cinderella or bringing back Snow White, right? It's a new movie. A new concept. Frozen was new. Moana was new. Zootopia,
all that sequel.
The Animal World was new. And now that you got a one-off, made buckets of money.
Well, and I think about this. Here's what I think about too with Zootopia being now the biggest grossing movie is the cast is insane, and you forget sometimes when it's animated because you can't see them.
The billing.
And it wasn't until the credits that I go, oh my God, I forgot how many. Jennifer Goodwin, Jason Bateman, Shakira, Jenny Slate, you have Idris Elba, Octavia Spencer, J.K. Simmons, the list goes, Kristen Bell, like everybody and their moms in Zootopia. So
you
that
hear
doesn't
voices?
Hurt either.
And don't even recognize the people sometimes because it's so many. But what's cool is that it draws that audience from those realms. You got action stars. You got drama stars. Yeah. You got people that have never acted in comedy ever that are doing goofy lines inside of a dang kids movie.
Carl and Indy texted in. He said, Pixar used to be the GOAT, but now Disney is. Hey, Carl, there's room for everybody. I'll take both, honestly.
It's all the same at the end of the day.
At the end of the day, I couldn't tell you who's who. It's kind of like DC and Marvel. I always go, which one's which?
They're all owned by the same people, bro. Let's stop lying. Let's stop lying. It's one parent company.
One person at the top. In his mansion.
Mansion? They don't even begin to cover
Island.
It.
Island.
One of many.
Oh, man. All right. Well, there you go. Zootopia 2. I loved it. Of course, I'm biased. But highest grossing Disney movie of all time, beating out Frozen 2. So
Zootopia
that's cool.
2, I'm not mad at it. I'm kind of salty because Encanto isn't even top 10. I'm Colombian. That's the only reason. But Shakira sums it up in Zootopia 2. So it's cool. It's still
Shakira's
Colombian.
Shakira's your girl. You get to own her all you want. And let me tell you something else. I did not see this coming also when Wicked 2 was also out. Remember, I thought this, I think there's something that Wicked has this cult following, but it's very specific. And I don't know if I'm in it, to be quite honest. I don't think I'm in it.
I don't know if I'm in it, but I respect it enough to go, y'all, have fun with
it.
Do
your thing.
Do your thing. Enjoy. Ride your brooms. Paint yourselves greens. And
it's good.
Go ahead, do you. Do you, boo. Do you.
Ooh. All right. So we had a little fun. Now we're going to get onto a serious Am I the Jerk we got from a listener over the holidays. And it involves shushing someone who's autistic.
Can I tell you that shushing is one of my biggest pet peeves before we even get into this?
It is?
It's one of my biggest pet peeves.
I'm kidding. That was not cool. I'm such a jerk. You go, Allie, let me tell you what I hate. I go, what do you hate? Let me do that.
So next on Am I the Jerk?
What are we doing?
I'm sorry.
No, you good.
Let's go a day on Am I the Jerk.
Okay, who's the jerk?
103.7 Kiss FM.
I still think you're a jerk.
You get to be our moral compass.
No, wait, you're a jerk.
It's time to find out. Am I the jerk?
Look what you did, you little jerk.
Sips Diet Coke from McDonald's.
And shh.
So now that I know it drives you crazy.
It's Am I the Jerk time.
Don't ever get on my nerves. I'm going to be like, shh.
My show is on. My show is on.
Okay, no, for real though. This is one of those conversations we have a lot in public. And it has to do with all of the different things we're dealing with when it comes to the world.
Yeah.
And people. Yeah. And ADHD and autism and all the things we're learning a lot more about that we did not know much about, okay?
That part.
So this involves someone who got shushed at a movie theater, but there's more. And so we're just going to read it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
She sent this in over the break. You can email us like she did. Am I the Jerk at 1037kissfm.com. It's a moral dilemma. So send anything, even if it makes you uncomfortable like this one. Here
even
we go.
It makes us uncomfortable.
Yeah, like this one. It says, good morning, Allie and DZ. This weekend, I attended a Christmas concert at the Riverside with my dad. Again, she sent this in over the holidays.
I know the one.
Yep. She said there were two guys behind us who were talking a lot during the show.
Mm.
I was actually surprised how my dad didn't say anything, and then it happened.
Mm.
He turned around and shushed them. He asked them to stop talking. He told them we paid good money and we would like to enjoy the show.
Fair. That's fair.
I agree. He also asked them if they wanted to call the usher over.
Okay.
Their responses when I started to question, was he a jerk? The one guy spoke up and said, yeah, we paid money to enjoy the show too. Leave him alone. He's autistic. Everything goes silent.
Everything shifts.
Nothing else is said. However, as a side note, during the intermission, I heard them talking about behind me, and they said, that guy really rattled him. He's taking a break in the hallway. They also said, how are you going to yell at an autistic kid for singing and having fun?
Aww.
Side note, he was not singing. They were talking.
They were talking. Yeah.
We had no idea he was autistic. How were we supposed to know? And is my dad the jerk for shushing them? I was like, these are like the conversations we have all the time and nobody wants to touch them. So let's touch them.
So we're going to open up the lines and let y'all touch them because
so
I don't want
to. Welcome to 2026. Allie and DZ. Let's go.
No, let's get it for real.
No, let's talk about it for real because we have to talk about these things because it is uncomfortable. And I feel like that is the hardest thing to respond to when somebody goes, oh yeah, and they're autistic. It's like putting you like in a corner where now you're uncomfortable. You're like, well, now what do I do? I don't know what to do.
It pushes you into this immediate jerk box when you go, dog, I'm sorry that I hadn't made that inference before, bro.
Yeah.
I am just a person approaching another person as an equal human being.
Saying stop talking.
Saying now shushing, where rude might call rude, you know, calling the kettle black, right?
Yeah.
You shouldn't have turned around again. Shh, be quiet. We paid money. Like, you were already aggressive because mm-hmm. you internalized it long enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then you turned around and reacted. You could have before gone, hey, do you guys mind talking a little quieter? Mm-hmm. And then the conversation could have been had in a different manner.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe you would have turned around and realized, oh, this person is different.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it. You can sometimes tell when people are different, whether they're on the spectrum, whether they have a Down syndrome,
well,
whether they have a different illness
doesn't mean
or
you don't
a disease.
Know how to act in public, dude.
Fair.
There are lots of people
Fair.
That are autistic that have social issues. There's people 100%. That are autistic that don't. So, like, don't sit
that
here
part.
And tell me. I could shout that out to anybody.
Now.
You wouldn't know.
Now, though you can't tell, there are circumstances where you can. And that's where I go, maybe just turning around as a human being and observing your surroundings before
sure.
reacting to your surroundings, you would have gone, oh, maybe I don't say
mm-hmm.
nothing, or you know, maybe I understand, because I guarantee you that the level that he was using wouldn't have bothered you
okay.
had you known that they were special needs.
If you take out the special needs part,
yeah.
immediate jerk or not the jerk at all for shushing the person behind you who's talking during this concert you paid a lot of money for.
You know
I'm
what?
I'm just curious.
That's
like,
a
if you take
fantastic
it out,
question.
What happens then?
The point for me is the shushing. You didn't
oh.
react appropriately because now you made a scene and went shh, be quiet.
You say jerk.
I'm saying jerk whether you had special needs or not.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you could have turned around and looked at that person and gone, hey, do you guys mind talking a little quieter? Hey, do you guys mind not talking at all? You didn't approach it the right way. You came at him as a jerk because
Ooh.
Being even a normal human being, quote unquote, because nothing is normal, you could have still said, hey, please don't talk.
Somebody texted and said, not the jerk. My 11-year-old autistic child said, nope, be courteous.
I love it. Be courteous, but
again,
you shouldn't
you don't
shush
know.
Them.
Yeah.
Courtesy stands and not shushing somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I told you, shushing is one of my biggest pet peeves. And I shush my kids all the time.
Okay, thank you. Same. 414-533-1037. Lots of texts coming in. She and her dad were at a concert over Christmas.
Over at Riverside.
At the Riverside. And two guys behind them were talking a lot. And her dad finally said something, you know, shushed the guy. And he said, hey, we paid money too. And this guy's autistic. And then it got awkward for everybody. And
basically said, he's autistic. Leave us alone and let him talk.
And she said, how are we supposed to know he's autistic? And is my dad the jerk for shushing them? And she said, and they weren't singing, they were talking. Mm-hmm. So there's the full picture for you. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk to you guys next.
You're a jerk.
You get to be our moral compass.
No, wait, you're a jerk.
It's time to find out, am I the jerk?
Look what you did, you little jerk.
Look at that. Woo. You send out a secret invite for a private regulars party, and they all start coming back,
all
don't they?
All of a sudden, word spreads like wildfire.
To be on this show, you got to call 5 days in a row and get your own theme song. Yep. If you don't have a theme song, you could still call in and be on the show.
Well, I was going to say, you can still be on the show.
Today, we have a lot of regulars on the phone, because this is, am I the jerk for shushing him? And then they find out he's autistic after they shush him at a concert.
It's her a father, little awkward.
The whole thing's awkward. Let's start with Paulina in Milwaukee. Got her own theme song. They're all calling to say Happy New Year, I feel like.
100%.
Hey,
Paulina.
Good morning.
What up? Good to hear from you.
Morning.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. So is this woman and her dad, are they jerks for shushing the guy?
I say yes. Jerk. And I agree with DZ 100%. It's not because they told them to be quiet. It's how they told them to be quiet.
That part.
He could have just turned around way nicer and said, hey, can you guys keep it down a little bit? You know, like, you're kind of getting, your volume's getting too high.
You know,
I'm trying to watch the show.
You know what my pet peeve is? When the wrong person gets blamed for somebody else's actions. And then
what do you mean?
Like, you step up and you try to say something like, be quiet.
Yeah.
And now we're all mad at the guy who was talking, not the guy, the messenger who stood up for everybody and said, shut up already. Now we're mad at the guy who told him to shut up. He was helping us out, man.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. But
you know what I mean?
It's just a nicer way of saying
it. There's
a
nicer way. You let it
build
up. It's
not at all about the disability or anything. Nope. Like, disabled or not, it's just, that's... it's rude as hell to somebody like that. Just
that's
say
fair.
It differently, please.
Okay. You know, I don't know if I realized it was so rude.
Shushing is considered very rude to a lot of people.
It's somebody you don't know. Yeah, it's kind of rude to me.
What if I do it to
like if it's your family or something, it's fine.
If you know
your
bothers me and you're just doing it, then you just bother me.
Well, then don't get on my nerves and I won't do it.
Then it's just siblings, right? Then you're just going, I know it gets under your skin, so I'm a then you just be a sibling.
My three kids are autistic and they know better than to, you know, I take them to movies all the time and they're very quiet during movies.
You're a great example.
I don't want anybody to turn around and shush my kids.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'll say it nicer.
Exactly.
And then I'll tell them to be quiet.
There's a way to say it and then I will help you help them be quiet. Because sure. And everybody's volume gets out. Allie, you and me are loud people.
Very loud.
Autism or not. You know what I'm saying? We are very loud
people. And, you know, with my kids, it's very true that it's the way that you say certain things to them can trigger them. So shushing them or yelling at them is not a great way to go, because you're going to trigger something.
It's,
you know,
like saying,
so
relax,
say something
to a woman
nicely, then let the parent handle it, you know, something like
calm
that
down. That's like saying calm down. Yeah.
All right,
good luck with that.
It is. All right, Paulina, thanks for calling. Let's see if anybody agrees with you. Okay,
thank you.
Bye.
Love you guys.
Talk to you later. Much love.
Love you. All right, let's go to Autumn in New Berlin and see if she agrees with Paulina. Autumn's one of the newest theme song holders. She got her own theme song at the end of 2025.
Was she the last one of 2025?
Maybe
she might have been.
She
the last
been.
Yeah,
she's getting an invite. Her and Waylon.
I think Autumn was the last song in 2025.
Autumn, good morning. Happy New Year. We haven't talked
Happy
to you
New
yet.
Year.
You and everybody else who's finally coming back this week, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Paulina said jerk for shushing the guys behind him that were talking at the concert. They find out later he's autistic. Are they the jerks?
I would say jerks because of how she worded it and DZ. It's how you approach it. I have a son that's autistic as well, and I teach my kids who are autistic, it's not an excuse in public to use your disability out there.
Yeah.
But it's how you approach it, and then, like she said, it's going to trigger them even more, and then they're going to shut down, and it could get a lot worse and more escalated. So it's how you don't know who you're approaching. You got to approach it different ways.
Yeah.
Like in public.
Let's put it to you like this. Allie, we're at a show, right? And you and me are talking. We're kind of loud. Somebody turns around and shushes us. We're going to talk louder.
Probably.
You know, now you got an enemy in me. Now,
it's funny because Hudson talks all the time at movies and I constantly go, shh,
be quiet.
Quiet, dude.
Had you then maybe been bothered and somebody turns around and gives you a glare, maybe like a look, like, come
See,
on.
See, I would glare before I would shush someone.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I would have taken the glare and been like, hey, maybe we talk a little bit loud. Hey, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. You take social cues.
If you're nicer in how you approach it.
That part, right. Thank you, Autumn.
Yep. Yes, and I get that. You could totally take this situation and be like, treat everything with kindness. And if you would have nicely turned around and said, please be quiet, you know, would they have turned around and said, we're sorry, he's autistic and kept talking? Like, I don't know.
It's not even about the kindness for me. It's just the clear act of the shush is so rude that I didn't need you to be kinder. I just needed you to take a step. They internalized it so many times. They probably wanted to turn around and look or say something, and they didn't until it built up and they snapped.
You know what I'm saying about how we're gaslighting them and they were the ones doing nothing wrong at the end of the day.
I disagree. I think they were doing wrong. They shushed. That shushing is wrong.
They shushed the people that wouldn't shut up.
Shushing is wrong. It handled
so
inappropriately.
During an expensive concert.
I'm not gaslighting. I just disagree with your point. I don't think shushing is considered okay in any scenario.
Carl in Milwaukee said, you don't shush adults. You ask adults to be quiet.
You wish. We wish.
All right, Autumn. Yep. So you go jerk. That's two jerks.
Yes.
All right. Thanks
All right.
for calling.
Happy Thank New
you.
Year. Good to hear from
Happy
you.
Happy New Year. Love you guys.
Love you.
Love you back. Bye.
All right, last but not least, Julie is in Oak Creek, the OC. Today, theme song holder.
We got a lot of theme songs in this bad boy.
Somebody said DZ just showed his true colors. He hates shushing because he's the loud, obnoxious one.
You're right.
He doesn't accept the shush.
You're right. No, you're right.
Shushing isn't rude. Loud people are. Leave us alone. Now back on your
Bye.
Side. Bye. I agreed with them until they said loud people aren't fun. I said, whatever.
Julie, good morning.
Good morning. Hi. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, G.
Happy New Year. So, are they the jerks for shushing the guys behind them at the Christmas concert? And then the guy says, he's autistic. Are they the jerks?
100% the jerks.
Ooh,
and I don't care if the person is autistic or not. Anybody who shushes anyone, they are getting punched in the Richard.
Shout out Richard. Oh, last name Johnson.
That's funny.
Exactly.
Oh, so you really don't like shushing that much. Is it a trigger for you like it is for me a little bit?
It is a huge trigger. I've been with my husband over 30 years. He has shushed me twice.
Ooh.
Both times in public. And Ooh. Let me tell you.
That's why he's missing two fingers.
How are you still married?
Yeah.
Two fingers and a toe.
For each shush, boy, what?
All right, Julie. Yeah. Well, thank you for calling.
He knows better now because he knows now I'm not putting up with it.
His name is Richard. We love you so much, Julie.
All right, Julie. Have a great day. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Have a good day. Love you.
Bye. Love you back. Bye.
I love it when people say love you. It's so good.
Bruh.
All right. It's jerk, dude. Jerk Broom. For shushing the people behind you.
Sweep.
You guys are out of your minds.
Vacuum. Seal it up.
You're tripping, but okay.
Mail it to them and so they know. Jerk.
Jerkity jerk.
Big old jerk.
You know
shushing
who's
jerk.
Not a jerk?
Who?
Us, because we're giving away Bucks tickets. Are you ready?
I am.
Come on.
Are y'all ready?
See, that didn't offend me when you shushed me. It didn't even faze me.
Really?
I was like, whatever.
You don't feel nothing
on.
Being shushed?
Nothing.
Wow.
No, I could feel. Because you're not going to shush me. Okay?
That's part.
That's why I'm like, and?
Like, that's why I was
shush
like.
Shush yourself.
Even trying makes me mad. Like, good luck.
All right, let's give away these Bucks tickets. 414-533-1037. So the Milwaukee Bucks, we are sending you to a game. You will see them when they play on the 24th. They're going to play February.
Yeah, February 24th.
They're going to play Miami, yep. And you're going to get two tickets. If you are caller, let's go 26.
Oh, I see what you did there.
414-533-1037. Be like Danielle in Milwaukee who won Bucks tickets yesterday. We're doing them every day this week. And then after that, big mental health update I got to tell you about.
Really?
That happened with my kid.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's very different. Good luck to the caller 26. Who raised these bougie kids? Hudson just called me. I need an umbrella. It's called a hood.
Boy, throw that hood up and run.
Poor guy. No, I get it. He's going to the bus stop. And I gave Owen one, so now he wants one.
Of course.
He'll live.
One brother get one, the other brother get one.
More importantly, we're giving away tickets to the Milwaukee Bucks game. Ooh. DZ, you work for the Bucks.
I'm an in-game host. You know, you see me do some things. I'm like a really cool cheerleader, if you will.
You do a great job at the Bucks games. And we're giving away tickets right now. Pull up Brooke in Greenfield.
Hey, Brooke. Good morning.
Hey, Brooke.
Good morning.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
I'm actually waiting to go into my job, I'd rather get these tickets. I'm excited.
Oh, you're trying to win tickets in the parking lot at work.
We're better than your job because we're giving you tickets.
Yes! You late for a good reason. You late for a good reason.
Have you been to a Bucks game this year?
I have not gone in probably 2 years. Oh, so wow. I'm excited.
Yes.
So long enough, but you've been to Fiserv Forum, so you're going to have to come on back.
Ooh-wee. Do you have a favorite Bucks player?
Oh, I mean, Giannis,
three, four, not to be generic,
we'll
but he's
take
a dog.
It. I mean, we do have one of the best players in the world.
One. Thank you.
The best. Literally fair enough, this. Okay?
Man, he's averaging crazy.
That's awesome. So, all right, well, you're going to go to the game. You've got two tickets to the Milwaukee Bucks game versus Miami on February 24th, and you're going to see DZ because, you know, he is the in-game host.
That's right. So we're going to see you there. Okay?
Yay! I'm so excited. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now you can get into work.
Go Bucks. Say go Bucks.
All right. Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Way
back. Bye.
Bye.
Love you.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Brooke's like, screw this job. I'm winning tickets.
She said, I'm winning tickets. Forget that job. I'm loving on Allie and DZ and winning with Allie and DZ. Fools.
Okay. Hard turn. Family meeting, 103.7 Kiss FM, Allie and DZ. So I went to therapy yesterday.
Yeah, you were saying.
And I wanted to tell you what happened because, you know, I go every 3 weeks.
Okay.
And when we got done yesterday, I looked at her and she looked at me and I still had like 15 minutes left. She goes,
I looked at her.
And she looked at me and she goes, should I let you go? I go, yeah, I think I'm done. I don't think I have anything else to talk about.
That's kind of short today.
I go, I think I want to leave. And I go, can you tell I'm distracted? She goes, yeah. I go, all I'm thinking about is everything I got to get done today.
Fair.
Because it's a Monday after we came back, you know?
It's the Monday back, and it's like the catch-up of the weekends, plus the time you spent off, weeks, right? Yeah, I hear
you. So when I left, she's like, are we good doing every 3 weeks? I'm like, for sure. And if it becomes into this, it can be even less, you know? I like to exercise my mind at therapy. But one of the things I brought up to her, because mental health has become such an important part of my life, and we all deal with it in different ways, is that Hudson the other day, and I were having a talk, and this is why I love kids. They are so emotionally aware compared to our generation.
That's
what
true.
I mean?
No,
they understand like communication and feelings. A lot of them, if they've been taught correctly, they're tapped in. So I was talking, and we were talking about Owen and Hudson, and I was talking to Hudson about them and how different they are. Because he's like, oh, my brother's the worst, you know.
Complaining.
His ugly face, you know, all the stuff brothers do.
Hate my sibling. Not really.
And I'm always like, would you stop? And so he's doing this, and I go, you know, and Owen had like a blow up one day, and I said, well, you know, Owen's got bad anxiety like mom. And he turned, and he looked at me, my 12-year-old in sixth grade, and Hudson goes, mom, everybody has anxiety. And I was like, oh my God, you're so right. I was like, I don't know why I said that. Like, I should know better than everybody. Everybody has anxiety, but it didn't, like, it was one of those aha, duh, click moments.
Sure.
So I'm talking to my therapist about this. I'm like, I don't think people realize that everybody, I mean, we added it to Inside Out because it's an emotion that everybody has.
Everybody has.
And I said, so break it down for me. She goes, Allie, listen, she goes, everybody does have anxiety because it's a feeling. It's a nervousness. It's a, you know, whatever. She goes, but not everybody has an anxiety disorder.
Correct.
Like I do.
Yeah.
So she
goes, that's important to understand.
Just like everybody gets sad, but not everybody's depressed. Right? We all have these emotions at different times. It does not mean you
fall.
It's
just the level of how, you know, severe it is and how you cope and what you do.
And how you deal. So I just had this like weird moment where I was like, there's so many people who would say they don't have anxiety, you know, or they don't have, you know, any involvement in it. And I'm like, but
I think
you kind of do. But she's right about saying just because you have anxiety doesn't mean you have a mental health disorder.
The people that are saying they don't suffer from anxiety, I always took it as they don't have the clinical anxiety that needs to be medicated, right? Because we all get nervous. We all get stressed.
Totally.
We all go through our lives and go, oh, this is something I don't want to do. Or
social,
if you're scared
anxiety
of heights, you go somewhere high. That's called anxiety. Oh. When you get them little willies and feelings in your body, that's anxiety, son. So just because it doesn't present itself in some type of ADHD anxiety,
tragic or traumatic
AUD,
way,
exactly, doesn't mean you don't suffer from it. My wife and I were just talking about this the other day,
you
too.
Were?
Because, you know, she suffers from anxiety. Mm-hmm. She goes to therapy. Mm-hmm. She's been exploring her mental health way more. And she's somebody that has been going to therapy for years already, right? It's recently changed for her for the better in a great way, right? We love that.
That's awesome.
But it takes conversation. It takes time, right?
And kids.
It takes
takes effort. Change everything too. Like having kids is a big transition for women and men and families and changes your life. There's a lot to cope with.
We were talking about driving anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
Because my wife has very crazy driving anxiety. Like, I mean, and this is like far from the joke of, oh, when you're driving with your passenger princess, she saves you from a car accident that's never going to happen. No, my wife thinks that there's a car accident that is always going to happen, that there's an imminent threat. She's been in some traumatic experiences inside vehicles, so I understand why she goes through it, right? But she has what I would call severe driving anxiety. Mm-hmm. She's always expecting something wrong to happen, so it triggers her.
You're thinking about the future and you're stressing out about what could be, even though nothing's actually happened. It's always about the future.
I don't have that same anxiousness when we get in the car, hence why I drive. Only time I really get anxious is when the roads are slick, when it's snowing, and I'm on an exit ramp, because I've had my experiences in cars. Aside from that, I'm good. I'm a defensive driver. My wife is not. Mm-hmm. We have different anxieties, and we got really to talking about it, because she's going, I always think something crazy is going to happen in this car. And I'm like, girl, I'm driving. I got us.
Right,
good.
But at least she's speaking out loud the irrational thoughts.
That part.
Because those are the thoughts that we need. That's why we need the therapy, because you go through the trauma and now you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die if I get in the car. And every time she gets, and she has to do it every single day.
Every single day.
Which must be really stressful.
We got to drive to work.
Especially with kids.
Especially
you know?
With babies.
I can't imagine. And she's just reliving it over and over. Yep. So that's got to be, I can only imagine, dude. It's got to be stressful.
But it's important to understand that, you know, everybody's anxiety is not the same. But I agree with what Hudson said. Mm-hmm. Everybody has anxiety. Even those that might say they don't.
Somebody texted in and said, your brain reacts differently to the emotion than somebody who doesn't have the disorder. Everybody has anxiety. Everybody has a sadness button. It's just the way your brain reacts to it.
That part.
That's fair.
That's very fair.
You guys want to chime in on this, you're more than welcome, because I was talking about how my son was like, Mom, everybody has anxiety. And I was like, oh yeah, duh. It's one of those things kids say and you're like, duh, but duh.
The aha moment that your kids will bring you, bro.
It's like, it's all about the language.
Yeah.
It really is. It's like, we say the same stuff. We just don't use the right language.
We're not
so nice to ourselves sometimes with the language.
Nerves is anxiety to me. Mm-hmm. You know, when you get nerve, if you say, I'm not a good public speaker, I don't like speaking in public, that's called getting anxiety, talking out loud, dog. Anxiousness presents itself in so many ways.
All right, we're talking anxiety, the newest emotion on Inside Out.
Anxiety! That's not what we're playing, though.
Honest to God. It's true, though. We'll talk to you next. 103.7 KISS FM, Milwaukee's number one hit music station. I was just talking to somebody off the air, a caller, who said they're glad we're talking about anxiety and touching on this because their daughter just started therapy and it's been tremendously helpful. And she's 3 months later saying, I think it's working and I might not need it anymore. So I'm like, hey! Well,
and it takes time, and maybe you need it for another little bit in another couple months. Who knows?
Oh, that's right, because it's okay to, I call it a relapse. You call it whatever you want, where I've not gone to therapy and then been like, you know what? I'm not doing so well. Time to check back in. It's just like when you gain weight and you're like, I got to go back to the gym. My body is struggling right now.
If you're trying to keep your body intact and healthy, I think mental health is important, right? Do you go to the gym all day, every day? No. Do you go get mental health all day, every day? No. But when you need to, you will.
And what you put in your body affects your brain. We know this now, especially with processed food. It all matters. All right, I'm not going to get off on a tangent here.
I was
going to
say, let's not go there.
Let's go to Danielle, who is calling our girl in Butler.
The homie, she done got her own song called A Bunch of Days in a Row.
Yep, 5 days in a row to get it. I was saying that my son, my 12-year-old, pointed out to me that everybody has anxiety, Mom.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, I guess they do. But not everybody has an anxiety disorder.
Everybody goes through it differently.
Not everybody has a depressive disorder yet. They may get sad. So it just, I don't know, just... We need to have these conversations about mental health, you know?
I agree.
We do better and everybody else does better, more awareness.
It's enlightening.
What's going on, Danielle?
Not much, guys. How are you?
You know.
Chilling, you know.
Not anxious today.
Not at all.
That's good. That's good. I think anxiety has a lot to do with the person's past and like how much trauma they went through in their life.
Fair.
And if they have a regulated nervous system or not.
That's fair. Because
if they didn't go through a lot of trauma, they're going to have a more regulated nervous system, so they're not going to have the anxiety like someone who had been through a lot of trauma.
It's interesting that you say that, because I've really never thought about the nervous system being at play like that.
Oh, it's huge. I feel like my nervous
you
system is out of whack all the time.
Really?
And even when I was dating Pottery Guy, I know it's funny. I remember him being like, you're nervous all the time. I'm like, no, I'm not. But he could totally sense that my anxiety.
You're tense.
Because I was going through a lot then. So it was like, dude, you could sense it on people.
Yeah,
and that's their nervous system.
You know me. I call it energy. Mm-hmm. I call it aura. I call it your light. Yeah, but it's your nervous system's reaction. And maybe that presents certain, you know, I don't know, right? Certain qualities that you go, oh, that's this or that's that. But really, it's just somebody's nervous system.
Well, and also, Danielle, one of the things I didn't even learn until I was probably 40 was that most of my anxiety comes from being in a house where I was being screamed at every single day. And it didn't occur to me until I was an adult. Well, of course, any kid would be anxious in a house on edge for 18 years.
That's conditioning we don't realize.
Of course I'm going to go out into the world and be completely anxious because of my surroundings. It's like, you know.
You're waiting to get yelled at.
Yeah. Or yell at somebody else.
Or yell at before you get yelled at.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of crazy. I mean, therapy does a lot for people, but just talking about our anxiety, I think, is so good for us. So, Danielle, girl, you're on point. What's new?
Yeah. If someone doesn't want to do therapy because if they feel as though that it's not for them, then do research on like tuning in to how to regulate your nervous system to eliminate the anxiety over time.
Well, and there's other things you can do besides therapy.
And medication might not be it for everybody, right? It isn't always the, you got to go get put on medication to help with your anxiety, blah, blah, blah.
I even met look at me playing tennis. Like a sport helps with things. Exercise, like getting your energy out. That's one way to deal with anxiety as well. So
100%.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Danielle, we got to talk to one more person, but we appreciate you. Thanks for calling.
Sounds good. Love you guys.
Love your back. Little birdie told us it's your birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you, guys.
Happy birthday, Danielle and Butler.
Happy birthday to you. Okay,
feliz
we gotta go.
Feliz cumpleaños.
All right.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
All right, one more caller. Megan is calling in Muskego. Hey, Megan.
Good morning.
So we're talking mental health because I went to therapy yesterday and I said it was actually a short session. I didn't have much to talk about, which was nice for once. And then we started talking about how Hudson said everybody has anxiety. And I thought, it's true. I never thought about it like that, you know?
Yep.
Just got me thinking. Yeah. What do you think, Megan?
Well, I love that you guys talk about mental health. It's my favorite topic. I know it's normally like still taboo topic.
Oh, it's very stigmatized.
It shouldn't be, but
makes you uncomfortable. Makes anybody uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Right, but you know what, Megan? Hold on, I have a thought on that. The people listening who it's making uncomfortable, good, we're breaking the stigma. The people listening who aren't uncomfortable, like you, you're already past it.
We so normalize it's fine. The conversation.
If you're uncomfortable, great, we're breaking the stigma. Go on, Megan. Go on.
Well, so my whole look at it, it comes from personal experience because I do have generalized anxiety, diagnosed.
Yeah, okay. Same.
And I also, I went to school for psychology and neurobiology. So, I understand it just from, an educational standpoint, too,
right.
Which the reason I went to school is to study that. But a lot of people don't realize that anxiety manifests itself in a lot of different ways, whether you're diagnosed or it's just, what Hudson was saying, where you're like, oh, everyone gets anxiety.
Right.
A lot of people don't understand that that is different in a lot of different people, and it could also be genetic, too. My mom has anxiety, diagnosed, and so does my brother.
Okay.
So, unfortunately, all of us just kind of got
passed down, let me tell you.
Everybody got that anxious chromosome.
My dad wasn't screaming for no reason. Let me tell you, he was anxious as well.
I feel that. I feel for sure. And she's saying, manifests in different ways. He yelled.
Right.
Right? Some people internalize, right?
Some people cry.
You know?
It's so true.
When I was in college, 4 years of college, I went to school in Madison. It's a very hard school. It's very competitive. But even college in general, a lot of crying. My anxiety was so bad before. I'm on medication now. I know that's not for everybody, but it helps me.
Yep.
My anxiety was so bad, I would physically make myself sick. Like,
you know.
Because the mind and the body are connected. This is like when people have backaches for months and they're like trying to figure out what's wrong, and it ends up being something mental the whole time. And that's not everybody. A lot of times there is something wrong with you. But like there is all the time it comes out in the body. It can come out in the neck. You know, you don't even realize
You can make yourself physically ill just thinking it. Right? Yep. Literally.
Stomach aches are a huge one.
I watched my dad make himself sick. I mean, just thinking about finances, right? He'd worry. My parents would stress about money, and then my dad would get this crazy headache. And it's like, bro, anytime I get a headache, I'm like, do we owe a bill or something? Like, why do I got this headache?
Do you know what's so funny? Every time Hudson gets a headache, I'm like, get off the screen.
Now it's our turn. Now it's the tech. Now it's the tech's fault.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing and talking openly with us today, Megan, because it is a thing. And, you know, thanks for sharing you had the diagnosis, because a lot of people, I mean, I don't know everyone's story and how they get diagnosed, but I got diagnosed when I went into outpatient treatment when I was going through my divorce, and I was just could not cope anymore because I had no control. It was like my husband had left me. I was pregnant. Yeah. I was traumatized. I had a 2-year-old. I didn't know what was going on.
A lot.
And then so I go to my therapist, and at the time, and I said, I don't want to live anymore, but I have to.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I need help, and I don't know what to do because I have kids I have to take care of, but like
I can't cope
anymore. So like, what do I do? And she was like, okay,
we're going to get you the help.
And I did outpatient. So that was, I volunteered. I went every day from 8 to 5. I took a few weeks off of work, and it changed my life. And when I was in that outpatient program, that they diagnosed me with GAD, general, you know, anxiety disorder, depressive major disorder, you know, cause I've had depression and all that, and it ebbs and flows. Yep. So the more we talk about it and go, this isn't that serious. Like, it's serious, but it's not, we shouldn't be ashamed.
It's very serious because we're not talking about it enough. No. And that's why it's so serious. If we could normalize the conversation, we could all figure out that you go to therapy, you gonna get diagnosed with something, because we all going through something big,
dog. We're all messed up.
Ain't that the truth?
Congrats. So we were talking anxiety and trauma, and here we are again, 103.7.
It just feels right.
Kiss FM. It's Milwaukee's number one hit music station. It's Allie and DZ. What up?
What up, dog? All right.
So it's our second day back, and we have lots to discuss.
We've been discussing. A lot has happened.
I know.
I didn't even tell you about the emergency room visit we've had with Danny. This doesn't even have to do with that.
How are you going to tell me when we get on the air, my nephew went to the emergency room over...
Is he okay? He was fine. We didn't even want to go, but the rest of our family made us anxious about it. Speaking of anxiety,
that something might be wrong.
Our 2-year-old was the perfect height. You know, kids and tables, they just magically find a corner. A rounded corner of our kitchen table gashed our son's eye open. So it was cut. He didn't bleed that much. He didn't cry that much.
Yeah.
But then we had family come over for cookie decorating. And after that, everybody's like, no, you guys got to go. You guys got to go get him looked at. And I was like, no, he's fine. 3 people later, I'm like, okay, maybe we should get him, go get him looked at. So we took him to get him looked at. They're like, he's fine. Yeah, he's fine. He's good. No worries. It's fine. We can't do anything about it.
So
he might need stitches. We knew he didn't need stitches. The doctor told us he didn't need stitches. He was fine.
Well, at least you checked.
But we didn't want to be bad parents. So, yeah.
That's fair. He's fine. Now, you know, at least you can sleep at night knowing he's fine.
We are traumatizing our kids in other ways. Mm-hmm. And before,
like what?
Before we started talking about this, it was meant to be in my head lighthearted. But now I'm thinking of some of the trauma that I've experienced going, no, we actually got to talk about this.
What do you mean?
Danny, our 2-year-old, is recently traumatized in the bath.
Okay.
What happened? He didn't fall. Nothing crazy. He got soap in his eye.
The magical soap.
We were out of the tear-free whatever.
So you're like, just use this stuff.
He obviously puts it all over himself, gets it in his eye. This boy has been traumatized for, I mean, days.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm so glad that we're talking about this because you've got to listen to this little boy. I don't even need to plug in because it is that egregious.
No.
Listen, what do you mean?
This is
it.
Oh, Danny.
That's our son. Last night getting showered. I'm
so
about 30 feet
even
away.
Happening and he's just screaming.
Right.
No
that is our
way.
Son. I was nowhere near the bathroom.
I would have given me so much anxiety, even though you know he's fine.
He's fine.
He's so scared.
My wife was standing right there with him, helping him shower. He got soap in his eye once, just once, and it has traumatized him to the point of that is shower time. Anytime water and soap are involved now, he goes, no!
You don't realize how one little experience can ruin everything for you. Everything.
Granted, we think he will be okay?
He will.
I'm now thinking of my experience with the one time it took for me to be traumatized for life. I had a little girl when I was about 6-ish years old.
Yeah.
Throw a dead rat at me from my own bushes. I froze real time. I watched it hit and splatter me in the chest, and I have not been okay with small rodents since. I don't like birds. I don't like rats. I don't like gerbils. I don't like hamsters.
Because of one time.
One time.
You know what else this is like when parents throw their kids in the pool and think it's funny or the way to teach? It's not.
It's not.
You're much higher chance you're going to traumatize them and make swimming more traumatic for them, but okay. Not the way to do it, but good luck.
All it took is that one time.
That's
for real.
Crazy. I got married one time. Look at me. I cry every time I date.
What took one time like that Danny. Traumatized for you?
I sound like Danny. I have to go to date.
For our son, Danny, it's the shower. For me, it's rats.
For me,
for
it's
Allie,
dating.
It's dating. What took one time?
One marriage was all it took for me. I can't even look at men.
I shouldn't be laughing, bro.
It's funny because it's true. That's how we deal with our trauma, DZ, is we laugh. You know this, and I know this.
You gotta laugh right. through the pain, but the
Honest
reality is,
God.
This little boy really did get traumatized off the one. Do you need to hear him scream again?
No, because it's what I sound like when I date.
I'm talking, boy, it's water.
The trauma you got after one time.
All it took was once. And you're traumatized for life.
414-533-1037. We'll talk to you next. I need a wish right now to untraumatize me from my marriage. How about that?
My son wishes he was untraumatized from getting soap in the eye.
This started when DZ started telling the story about poor Danny, his 2-year-old who got soap in his eye, and now he screams every time he's in the shower every day.
You think we're beating him.
You would think, but you're just like giving him a shower.
He's just in warm water with my wife standing in front of the shower with him. Like that's it. You think we're abusing our son, but no, he's just.
I didn't think that.
Bath time at 6 p.m. in the DZ household.
Well, sometimes it only takes one time to traumatize someone, and this was it for him.
That was it.
Well, let's start with Mike in Hartford, babe.
Mike, babe.
Called 5 days in a row, got his own theme song. I'm bringing sexy back. Hi, babe.
Good morning.
Hi. So, Michael, tell us who was traumatized. It was you, I hear.
I was traumatized when I was in my younger drinking days, and I have never prayed to the porcelain throne so much after drinking gin, and I have never drank it since.
You're traumatized. Gotcha. I'm a whiskey girl. Yep. I can't drink whiskey because I drank a whole bottle of Jack Daniels in college. It was the dumbest thing I ever did.
Oh, I feel
it. Dumbest thing I cannot even smell whiskey to this day.
It'll do it.
I think I had 2 drinks, and I had never prayed to the porcelain throne so much.
What kind of juice? Because you didn't have the right juice. Snoop talked about it. It's gin and juice.
Mm-hmm. I honestly don't remember. I just remember that's the only time I've visited that place.
Good.
Not felt right.
Because gin is disgusting, okay? And I don't know why anyone would drink it to begin with. So that was your first mistake.
Gin is on par with Malort if you've ever tasted
it. It's worse.
Well, that's right.
Gin, it tastes like what I would think jet fuel would taste like if I knew. That's what I feel like it would taste like.
I think it was more...
Fair assessment.
I was drinking whatever was available at my time of I didn't make a lot of money at
sure.
the time.
It was your young days, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, my young days.
Are you kidding me? Even when I was making money, I still drank too much. Okay, bye, Mike.
Whatever's handed to me.
Have a good one, guys.
Love, man. Peace. Good to hear from you.
Excuses. Give me a break. All right, Amanda's in New Berlin. We're going to go to her next. She's got a story about her son.
Your neighbor?
My neighbor.
Hey, Amanda.
Hey, neighbor.
Morning.
She's not really my neighbor, but, you know, my New Berlin
Close
homie.
Enough. It's New Berlin.
So listen, Amanda, what happened to your son?
So my, now 7-year-old, when he was 6, we had the stomach flu run through our house.
Mm-hmm.
And he got sick. And something about that, I mean, he does have sensory issues, but something about that really triggered something in him, and he developed emetophobia.
Emetophobia?
What is that?
He's scared of meat now.
That's a thing?
I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce it.
No. Being scared of meat?
No, I don't think it's a meat. No.
I got so upset.
I was joking.
So you're being traumatized. There's a meat thing? Okay, no.
No,
what is it?
Joke.
It's the It is the fear of throwing up, and it took us a while to identify it because it was more like presented as tummy aches. And long story short, it was a whole journey. But yeah, he
interesting.
Was in school,
so he would
school,
not.
And, yeah,
but you know what? It's weird, but it's not that weird because there are children who will not poop, and sure. I have had friends had to go to the doctor and be like, "This kid will. He's afraid to poop.
Get
something
this baby
happened.
An enema.
Like they, you know." And it was like you just don't know, yep. you know. So I get it. That makes sense.
Who
actually.
Would think you get sick once and all of a sudden you're deathly afraid of throwing up? Yeah. But then you think, as a kid, you don't know. You think your insides are coming
out.
And
then you hold it in when you need to throw up, much exactly. like kids who need to poop and don't poop, and then they get sick.
Make yourself more sick. Mm-hmm. This is crazy.
It's crazy.
Whoa. Wait, so how did you guys figure it out?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just, we lots of calls from school, and eventually, so he's in therapy right now. He's in we're doing exposure therapy with, like, an OCD specialist.
So you make him throw up once a week. Great. No, I'm just kidding.
Jokes? But all jokes aside, as he get older, he will understand it's natural and everybody does it. But as a kid, you're not going to grasp that as a 7-year-old.
Well, and props to you for getting him in therapy and all that. I mean, what a good mom you are for
Who
that.
Who would have thought?
So,
Who would have thought? Not me.
We try. Mm-hmm.
Nope, you're doing it. All right, Amanda. Well, thanks for calling. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you. Have
Bye.
A great
Bye. You too. Take care.
All right, last but not least, let's talk to Saucy. We're talking about when you got traumatized by one time.
All it took.
DZ's son is now traumatized after getting soap in his eyes. He won't get in the shower without screaming bloody murder.
One time over the holidays, and now 15 showers later, he refuses.
Somebody texted in and said, my son is traumatized from cough medicine.
Huh.
Because it's so nasty.
Oh.
One time we gave him the bad one.
Saucy says same.
Girl, yes, that was Jason in Maguanago. Hey, Saucy.
My parents used to wrap us in a blanket and give us the liquid medicine. So I am never taking liquid medicine ever again in my life.
That would traumatize me if you held, you basically held you down.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Yep. Yes. Mm. Hey there, hey, sorry.
Hey.
What up, Sauce? No,
I'm into it.
Is
I'm into
good?
It. What up, girl?
I got a couple of things. Okay, one real quick was I gave my baby prune juice when she wouldn't go poop. They told me to give her prune juice. I will never give a baby prune juice ever again.
You ain't even water it down, did you?
Girl.
You made that mistake.
I did water it down, but massive mistake.
Got it.
Do not do
it's
it.
It's like American Pie when he's running to the bathroom.
Just don't do
but
it.
Then my own experience was, nah, I got this. So at work, this is about, 7 years ago. I was using the Dingo, and I had really heavy blocks on the pallet, and I'm taking it up a hill, and it's up higher.
Dingo's a
forklift.
I was going to say, I can't believe I know what a dingo
dingo's
is.
Like a forklift.
Yeah.
They're a good steer with
forklift. Yeah, skid loader, whatever, same thing.
I almost flipped the thing. I'm like, I got this. I almost flipped it real bad and nobody was around and I was like, oh my God.
Never driving that again.
Never doing that.
Yeah, but listen,
ever
if
again.
I saw a forklift flying through the air, I would think it's Saucy. I mean, it would make sense.
We got a dingus and a dingo.